Welcome back to The Real Big Show. My name is Mike Petrelli, your host on this wonderful evening. Joined this week by some of our survivors from the San Diego Comic-Con this past weekend. A couple veterans and a couple newbies to the show. Bringing back one of our favorites, Alex. What's going on, buddy?
What's up?
And Philip, what's going on with you?
I'm good.
You guys know these guys from past podcasts, and they are some Comic-Con veterans. And we also are bringing in two new friends, our friend Jennifer. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
And the Boff. What's going on, dude?
I'm just laughing at Jennifer's echo.
Well, you are, too.
She's calling in from space, and Boff's calling in from Sweden. So we're lucky to have them both. I'm pretty sure we'll lose Jennifer to some kind of aliens at some point. Boff to a beer or waffles. I'm not sure. So, guys, we survived the 4 days at San Diego Comic-Con.
Apparently
so. It's true.
Somehow.
I'm still fathoming how we actually did survive this. But as most people that read the post that I put out there earlier this week know, this crew has been together for about 2 years. This is the second year. You guys probably a lot longer than that, but you've accepted me into your brood over the last couple years.
It was
a hard sell.
I mean, Mike just kind of forced his way in. He just kind of appeared out of nowhere last year. Hey, let me join.
Well, guess what? Sometimes that's the way it has to work.
Yeah.
So what about this year was different from last year?
The goddamn fucking wristbands.
Yeah, the wristbands were a difference, I guess.
The ticketing system was, this was the first time they did that whole randomized number ticketing system. And for a while we were sweating, but oh God, are we going to get in?
Yeah, Comic-Con it has not yet figured out a method it likes for basically anything yet. It's still kind of getting used to the number of freaking people that come each year.
Yeah, I think this is the sixth year in a row. It's topped the 50,000 mark. So this year it was in, I think, the 135,000 people. They keep expanding the amount of people. Last year they said 126,000 was the cap, but I don't know where they found 8,000 extra people this year, but they did. Jen, what was your experience like this year for the exhibit hall?
Disappointing.
How so?
I just preview night in general as a Funko collector, and not being able to get in and just giving up immediately was disappointing. but at the same time, I saved a lot of money not getting into there, so I guess that's a plus side.
Well, let me ask you something. A lot of the people were complaining that the exhibitors that were in there were able to get those exclusives, and one of the complaints was a lot of the exhibitors were turning around and selling them at their own booths.
Seriously?
I heard that.
That's a common occurrence every year, though. I mean, some booths have now instituted a no reselling to exhibitors policy. But, I mean, every year, a lot of exhibitors will do that right away. And that's why you see a lot of those exclusives at the booths before you even get in for preview night.
What ones were you going after, Jen?
Which ones weren't I going after?
That's true. Yeah.
That was my favorite, I would think. I think I have to say. It's okay, though. I don't know. But my favorite part about the exhibit hall isn't, like, the big names. It's discovering different artists. And I just feel this need to look at smaller artists and purchase from them. So I think, despite the disappointment I had, I came out with a lot of, like, smaller items that I was happy with, you know, cute, adorable items that I wouldn't have found otherwise. So
it's always those little gems that you find at the con that wind up being the most special ones that you keep for a long time. Phil, did you find the exclusives this year lame?
No, I didn't really, because I didn't do preview night, I didn't get to walk around and look for exclusives all that much because I didn't get in until Sunday. But I mean, I had our buddy Andrew pick me up one thing that was incredible,
and that is the Game of Thrones Dragon Eggs.
It is pretty spectacular.
And I said I didn't really get to look around all that much.
Yeah, I mean, just looking on the line beforehand and just going through the online exclusives pictures.
I was kind of looking forward to maybe, if I could find it, getting that talking gold bender.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool.
That would have been fun.
I didn't even know they had that.
Yeah.
Alex, did the Mattel and Hasbro seem to really lack this year compared to years beforehand? Do you think that the exclusivity of San Diego Comic-Con is starting to wean with some of the bigger companies?
I think they might be running out of ideas of what they want to sell. But, I mean, they messed up pretty badly this year, according to what Philip was telling me. I mean, Phil was saying how their My Little Pony exclusive had accidentally got shipped over to some Toys R Us's.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to someone at the Hasbro line when I was getting the Dinobots for Alex. And, yeah, someone was telling me how they'd accidentally shipped a small amount, but still some of the Hasbro exclusive pony to a Hot Topic location.
And so there was some pissed off bronies at Comic-Con this year, then.
And because that means that technically you could get the pony outside of Comic-Con, they were not allowed to label it as a Comic-Con exclusive.
Jesus.
And that just kind of shot that down. So,
did you say it was at a Hot Topic?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if like the box that they got at like Comic-Con was like...
I recall it being Hot Topic. It might have been something else, but that's the story I heard.
Hot Topic sounds about right. They sell a ton of My Little Pony stuff nowadays.
Really? Because that would have been even better if like they shipped the My Chemical Romance boxes, t-shirts to Comic-Con. Like instead, that would have been just really funny for me.
Yeah. I'd have bought one. They're good.
The Boff! So what was your most favorite experience about the exhibit hall? And I know you weren't in there much, but you did get to meet a couple people.
I did. I'm not really there for exclusives and the swag and stuff. I'm a panelist guy. I'm there just to see the panels. But the Sunday was pure shopping for me, and I got in line and bought a exclusive book from Evangeline Lilly that she made herself and got to meet her a little bit. She wasn't interested in a green card marriage, though, so I'm still staying in Sweden as it is.
Damn.
But yeah, it was a cool experience. I mean, the floor itself is awesome. I mean, just walking there, see all the people, it's cool.
Is it too crowded these days? I mean, Alex, you've gone a few years now. I mean,
I remember the days in which you could literally just like there was no line in the morning to get into the exhibit hall. You just walked right in. The security girls are all nice and friendly with smiles on their faces. but I mean, the exhibit hall nowadays, like, it's a battle. You have to walk in, and you're pushing your way through, and you're like knocking down little kids and like old ladies and on walkers. And, you know,
I think that's only you, dude.
But it's crazy, and like even things where like this year, I think it was the Legendary booth was doing the Oculus Rift Pacific Rim stuff, and I really wanted to do that, and I was like, oh, where's the line for this? Oh, they're only giving out like so many tickets. In the morning, you have to get here like right at 9 a.m. to get it. Like, are you kidding me? Really?
There's also something similar for the X-Men Cerebro thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So those are like some new events. We saw at the exhibition hall this year, but we couldn't get into them because we didn't know that. Oh, it's not just a normal lineup. Like even the Walking Dead booth. Usually, it's just like a line. You go in and then you can go through their little cool exhibit thing and inside and all that. But this year, it's a lot of that stuff. You had to get there and they had to give you passes to get into exhibits in the exhibition hall.
So who had the best booth overall, exhibit or exclusive wise?
That's a hard one. You know, I'm always a big fan of the DC booth just because the DC booth brings out some cool stuff. I was a little disappointed with Marvel's booth this year. They didn't do anything like gigantic like they usually do. I remember when they had like Thor or Odin's throne room one year. That was awesome. And then they had the Iron Man's Hall of Armors 1 year, and that was great. This year it was just a stage, and they threw up like, oh, hey, look, it's the Agent Coulson's car from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Or, and then like the last couple of days, like, oh, hey, look, little trinkets here and there from Age of Ultron coming out, but they didn't like do one overall theme that they usually do.
And then DC had the bat suits.
Yeah, DC had all the bat suits, and you got this, and they brought out the new Batman v Superman cape and cowl out, and that was pretty cool to just get a look at and see all the fine details on how like the cape is actually like a clothish cape. It's not, and how the cowl, and that kind of matches the cowl for once.
I love the Lego booth. I thought that was awesome.
Oh, the Lego booth is always sweet. They always have these cool sculptures, and they always have a little wall where you can go, like, spell out your names on it and things. Like, ha, I have my name on it.
They have this year. I can't remember.
They had Spider-Man, Shredder.
They had the Groot and Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How about the Star Wars booth?
They had the Batman motorcycle from the old TV show with the side pod that Robin used to lay down in and shoot away in. That was pretty cool as well.
I thought the Star Wars booth, I mean, they come with it every year. I mean, they always bring something pretty spectacular. But I thought it was kind of the same. I think it was exactly the same booth as it came with last year.
Which, the Star Wars booth hasn't changed in years, though. I mean, it's always the same booth. They like, oh, hey, look at these cool props in the movies. Oh, hey, you can watch your favorite scenes on this big-ass screen.
Well, I just thought this year they would, I mean, with Episode 7 coming, you know, that there might start to be a change. And it just seemed like they just kind of mailed it in again this year. With using pretty much the exact same exhibit they had last year. It was similar to Marvel. So I guess Disney kind of struck out this year, or they were kind of just...
They were non-existent.
They were kind of non-existent.
I mean, what's funny is if you walk down like the gas lamp and down the street, they had a ton of Big Hero 6 signs everywhere, which is their next big animated movie, which is based off another Marvel property. But... Like there was no panel for that movie anywhere, but
there
was
very little presence for it, if any.
Yeah.
There was very little presence for a lot of movies that are coming out in the next year, which we'll talk mm-hmm. about going into. But going into the reason why we all go, like Boff mentioned earlier, is the panels. We got to jump into Ballroom 20, Phil and Boff and I, on Thursday for the beginning of the television stuff. So you guys want to talk a little bit about that? What we saw?
I can say one thing. I've never seen 24, but I am totally going to buy the entire fucking box sets and see everything just because of that panel. I love them. They were awesome. Kiefer Sutherland, awesome dude. I want to see everything he's ever made. I love that panel. It was great.
What did you guys think of Scorpions, the show?
Yeah, no.
I mean, the best way I can describe it is clearly a CBS show.
Yeah. Scorpions, for those who don't know, is based on a true story of a boy genius. I believe his name is Warren O'Brien. I may be wrong with his name. Sorry, guys. But his backstory basically is, I think he's the number three most brilliant man in the world or something like that. And it's one of those like NCIS group shows where they get together and they stop the bad guys kind of thing. But except for this one stars Catherine McPhee and Robert Patrick, and it looks like it's going to be like a more of a computer espionage type of show based around coding and stopping terrorism.
They inexplicably get to drive super fast cars under planes. And
it's completely ridiculous in every way. Watching the pilot,
I'm not sure I agree. It does have the T-1000 in it. So.
Yeah. He's not even a presence that really makes me want to watch the show, though.
No, I agree. It was just cool seeing him in person.
Yeah.
Very cool to see him in person.
But no, I mean, the show is just kind of the generic stuff that network always puts out.
But the reason why we were all there, Community.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody knows that Community was canceled by NBC last year, and they're going to be on Yahoo Screen coming hopefully the end of this year or the beginning of 2015. But we got to sit in the panel and listen to some of the cast members, Jim Rash, Joe McHale, Jillian Jacobs, and, of course, the creator Dan Harmon and his producing crew do a little discussion on what we can expect from the show, which really didn't give us much. I think they're really in the early stages. I don't think they were really prepared for what they were going to be able to do. But guys, what do you think they're going to be able to do?
Still kind of in shock from the fact that they're still in shock from the fact that they freaking got picked up again. So they have yet to do any writing.
Do you think the show's going to change at all being on the internet now? Or do you think they'll try to stick to the roots?
I think they won't stick to the roots.
But they can curse more now.
Oh, yeah. But I don't think that they'll take advantage of that as much as people might think they will. I think it's going to be pretty much the same show.
Boff, are we going to get a movie?
Oh, shit, yeah, we're going to get a movie. Six seasons of a movie. That's always been the plan.
Save Troy.
Yeah, the movie. Save Troy from the fucking pirates.
That would be brilliant.
And the Firebirds, if he's still there.
Oh, yeah.
So, Jen, what did you go see on Thursday?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Of course.
Aww.
She doesn't even know.
That movie isn't just Benedict Cumberbatch. That's all you can remember from that day.
I was really relieved I didn't have to camp out for Thursday. And just because last year I had such a bad experience camping out for Ballroom 20. And so this year I woke up and I'm like, sweet, I'm just going to walk the exhibit hall. And we find out, despite wristbands, you know, Hall H is walk-in. So we just walked in. We're like, yeah, we're going to see Benedict Cumberbatch. And I'm like, the movie? What movie is he in? Because I don't know. I just know he's going to be there.
I believe it was Penguins in Madagascar.
Yeah. So they showed us like 20 minutes footage, which was cute. I don't really follow it though, so it's kind of wasted on me, but I had fun. And afterwards it was more so enjoying the stuff outside, the convention center that I didn't really get to enjoy last year. So that was fun, just walking around, you know, downtown San Diego, and seeing basically the only thing I remember is like the Sharknado people trying to get you to tweet things and, you know, everyone giving away the freebies. And I'm like, oh, these are all the freebies that I missed out on last year. This is where it was. Okay. But, I went to Batman 66. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, I wanted to see that one, but I couldn't get to it.
So Batman 66 was the original cast showing back up after almost 50 years. Into Hall H.
Feeling old, Michael?
No. Definitely not. Alex, you walked outside all day on Thursday, I believe.
Well, not all day. So on Thursday, we there were no real panels that I was interested in. I mean, I know I'm going to get like crucified for this, but I've never really watched Community, so
no,
die in a fire.
I know. So Richard and I had gone out and decided, okay, we're just going to see what's happening. We went to walk around the exhibition hall, saw all that, and we're like, God, it's getting really crowded in here. Let's go across the street, get some lunch at Tin Fish. Go to Tin Fish, and we're like, hey, there's all these exhibits out here. So we started going that. We went through the Constantine exhibit, and so they get you into – it's really cool. They have this guy walking around dressed as Constantine. He hands you a business card. It says John Constantine, the same card he has in the show. You call the number, and you get the John Constantine's voicemail. And then you walk into the tent, and they give this whole really awesome panoramic presentation about, like, giving you a premise of what the character is, what the show is going to be about. And you walk out, they give you a Constantine bag. And like, okay, time for lunch. Then like, hey, wait, there's a Blacklist exhibit over here. Let's go over here. And you go in and like you line up and they take your photo as if you're on the Blacklist, and they put you as like number 69, the photo bomber. And so you get your picture taken, and I made this really goofy face. So you get a Blacklist bag. Finally, we go sit, eat lunch. We're eating lunch, and Ralph Garman walks by because he's like, oh, I'm heading to go get ready for the Batman 66 panel.
Wow.
And it just starts talking with some of the fans. And after lunch, we're like, okay, let's go see what else is there. We walk back to the exhibit hall, and like, okay, this is kind of, we're kind of done with this for the day. We walked the entire floor, and we go out. Let's see what Hall H was looking at. Hall H, no line, just walk straight in. We got there for the Giver panel, and And so there, Jeff Bridges is there along with the author. What's her name? Lois something, I think is what her name was. The author of The Giver. They're chatting about the movie, and that was all fun. And then afterwards, we sat through for the Paramount panel. The Paramount panel is surprisingly good. The first few movies are not really memorable, but then of course, you know, I'm a pro wrestling fan, so the Rock comes out. The Rock is like, "Hey, I'm the Rock." He does his lines, and he's like, "Okay, everybody, I've rented out theaters for Hercules tonight. Anybody wants to go? I'm gonna tweet out the addresses. Just show up, and you guys can get in and watch. And first come, first serve, and it's just kind of fun. It brings up the energy in the room. Then we're like, okay, they're not really gonna do anything else. Next, you know, Chris Nolan comes out Matthew McConaughey comes out first for Interstellar. It's like, you know, I can't really explain this movie too well. Here's Chris Nolan.
Wow, that's probably the one of the best surprises of the night.
Surprises,
yeah.
So Chris Nolan came out. That was really cool. Then afterwards, Richard and I realized, oh hey, we're gonna have a long night ahead of us because we're gonna be camping out tonight. So we were gonna stay for Batman 66, and I'm a huge Batman 66 fan, along with a huge Ralph Garman fan because I love Hollywood Babylon and everything. But we're like, yeah, we're going to let us cut it tonight. We'll go back to the hotel room, get a little bit of rest, get showered up and clean. That way, when we're ready, we can just head over outside and get our sleeping bags out and start camping.
So basically, that leads us to what we really do and what we are there for, which is to sleep out. So we pay $200 to go to San Diego Comic-Con so we can sleep on a fucking grass. That's really what we all do. So from...
No. You guys slept on the grass for Friday night because you were going to Hall H. I slept on the hard concrete next to the bus stop, which is coming every 15 minutes.
This is true.
And you loved every second of it.
Oh, God. Yeah. The grass is infinitely better than the concrete.
And some of us slept in beds, so fuck them, too. So we got...
Yeah, I did that night.
Sorry. Yeah. So Bob was still probably jet lagged. He's like, you know, I'm just going to sneak into the Hall H line in the morning.
It was worth a shot.
As we're about to walk in, Bob's like, wait, I can't get into the Hall H line. Can I join you?
So we have a split group on Friday. So most of us went in to see the World of Animation shorts, which is really cool. First thing in the morning at Hall H on Friday, which was followed by The Walking Dead and the Game of Thrones panels, which Walking Dead was awesome. I mean, they really know how to bring it every year. They bring the season 5 trailer, they bring the producer, they bring the cast. The cast is very energetic. They like to talk to the crowd. They really know how to work the crowd. It's a really great thing.
But they're veterans now. They've done it a couple of times.
Yeah, and Norman Reedus loves to play in the crowd in general. So
yes, they all do. But
calm yourself, Jennifer.
Do we have a hot and bothered? And then you bring on the Game of Thrones panel, which is going to bring up mixed reviews here with this group. You know, they bring up nothing for the future season, but a lot of recap for the previous season. And then you have a lot of George R. R. Martin sitting there looking like some kind of weird Jabba the Hutt guru talking about his books and everyone should listen to me.
Oh, he hasn't finished writing them.
Yeah. So for those who were in Hall H, what was your opinion of the Game of Thrones panel?
I think you're the only one in Hall H that day, Mike.
Oh, yes. Let me talk about it then.
Watch Game of Thrones? Oh.
I don't know. I mean, I went to the very first year they Game of Thrones game, and that kind of got me to start watching it. But then I haven't actually gotten around to the panel since then due to other panels. But, I mean, from what I hear from these people who do go, it's just boring.
Yeah, I mean, the producers are really kind of arrogant. and they don't really bring too much to the table, and they get really, like, weirdly angry when people talk about things or ask questions that they don't want to feel like asking. And I'm not sure if it's just because they go through it all the time or if that's just the kind of people that they are, but,
dare you question our decision?
Yeah, pretty much. But the cast is always fun. I mean, last year they brought a whole different cast of characters. I like to bring a lot of characters that have died from the year before, which is always about half the cast. So, but overall, I mean, it's not a panel that gives you much is really what it comes down to.
Well, they haven't started filming, so I mean,
yeah, it makes sense that they do it the way they do. It's boring. I don't know.
It is boring. Well, Ball H guys or Ballroom 20 guys, what was going on there? Ball H, I just combined two places and just blew it up. What was going on in Ballroom 20 on Friday?
Marvel TV.
Yeah,
Marvel TV was the big panel of Friday.
That was the big one. But then it started out with Big Bang, and I do not watch Big Bang, but it had one of the greatest moments of the con.
That was so fun
for me when Craig Ferguson, who was hosting it, asks one of the, one of the fan questions, and asks, "Why do you guys hate Aquaman?" And he goes into a rant about
How dare you bring up Aquaman?
And then she reveals that she's the creator of Aquaman's granddaughter. on stage.
Burn.
Yeah, he reenacts like a good old fashioned samurai honor killing on stage and just passes out. He was so embarrassed.
That's funny.
Yeah, as it would be if you insulted the granddaughter of the creator of Aquaman.
Well, it's hilarious because he brought the question to the other panel about why don't you writers like Aquaman? And then Will Wheaton's the one who speaks up, like, you know, she said something else that I don't think you guys heard.
So will you say that again?
Yeah, it's like, I'm such and such's granddaughter, the creator of Aquaman. Oh, that was just hilarious. So that was a great moment. So.
Yeah,
I mean, it made a panel that was usually a throwaway panel for me because the Big Bang Theory writers panels happens yearly as the first panel of Ballroom 20 on Friday typically, and last year was typical throwaway panel. This year, Craig Ferguson really livened it up and made it enjoyable to watch. And I mean, I'm not a Big Bang Theory fan either, so it made me actually kind of interested in the series a little bit.
So
Craig Ferguson definitely helped.
So the highlight of Friday was Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So Friday, we had Big Bang Theory. Then I was there for Legend of Korra because I'm a huge fan of that series. And that was a okay panel. I mean, typically they were just kind of explaining, oh, look, don't worry that Nick is not going to broadcast us anymore and switching us to online distribution only. I mean, this is – and they're – trying to calm us about them like being, you know, semi-canceled, but they weren't really canceled. They're still going to show their full season and they still have a whole other season.
Let me just tell you, from an international perspective, I love when shows go on the internet instead because that means I can watch them legally.
Great, but for the panel, I think panel might have been more interesting if they hadn't already gotten through so much of the season already.
Oh, yeah, so I mean, what happened with this series is Nickelodeon Mexico, leave it to Nickelodeon Mexico, screwed things up, and they leaked episodes 3 through 6 online, and that prompted this whole wave of sudden changes to Legend of Korra's schedule, where all of a sudden, the day after the episodes leaked, they had to release a trailer for the season, and then a couple days later, oh hey, we're just going to start the season next week. No build up or anything. Just we're going to start it.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure the season wasn't supposed to have started already because usually they show us the first episode at the panel at Comic Con every year. But unfortunately, the season did start already, so they're like, okay, we're going to just tell you, hey, we're switching to digital distribution. Oh, here's the episode we're going to show tonight. And then they showed us some artwork and such like that. And I mean, not really stuff for the panel itself. There's not really much on there, but the episode was great.
What about Marvel Agent Carter did we see?
Nothing.
They hadn't really shot anything yet. So we saw a teaser kind of cobbled together from
news reports and stuff
from some old World War.
Teaser was coupled together from
Cap
and the item 447 and no, not item 47, the Agent Carter one shot that they did.
Yeah.
So nothing special.
No.
Yeah. So, but they brought out the cast and crew and said what they're planning on doing and such like that.
She looked lovely.
Yeah, and I mean, we got to see Hallie Atwell in person. That's more than enough for me.
Oh, yeah.
And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2? Any reveals?
Okay, go tell your favorite story.
Okay, so this is a spoiler for people who haven't seen the entire season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but if you haven't, why the fuck are you listening to this? Go watch it. Anyways, so they start open up for the fan questions, and we see this tiny little dude. He's like 8 years old, fully dressed in a Director Coulson outfit with a destroyer gun. Everything just looks awesome. The we're just in frenzy from seeing him, and then he just cool as a fucking whistle. I have a question for Agent Ward. How dare you? And that was just fucking amazing. That was just the greatest thing that ever happened. I love that little kid. I want to marry that little kid.
That's fantastic.
Well, no, I don't. Yeah.
We had a great moment in Hall H for The Walking Dead where a guy dressed as a zombie approached and he asked the cast, what are you doing to raise awareness for the zombies? And like the cast just literally couldn't contain themselves. I thought Andrew Lincoln was going to have a heart attack laughing so hard. And like they were just trying to seriously answer this kid. And he was so great in character. They kept screaming, hire him, hire him. It was pretty amazing. And one of the great things about Comic-Con is just getting some great fan interaction with the cast. Unfortunately, you get some really shitty fan interaction with the cast as well.
How do you get into character?
Yeah. What is your favorite thing about Comic-Con?
You know, I think part of that is due to, like, they screen your questions beforehand. And a lot of them probably have better questions, but like they come up in the security, they're like, oh, you can't ask that question.
Well, it could be.
Some new in the moment.
Yeah, or they lose their question.
Shitty, generic questions, like last minute going, oh, wait, I can't ask that question? Okay, here's something generic.
So
I do have one more awesome thing to say about Barroom 20 from that day.
Go.
That is from the Brave New Warriors panel.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Puts the wig on.
It puts the wig on.
Oh, so that was the
that was Tom Neeson from Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, I love him.
This is basically the guy's version of the Women Who Kick Ass panel from Hall H on Saturday.
This is their rising new stars panel.
Yeah, these are rising male stars, and I mean,
you should have been there, Jennifer.
Tom Neeson, I mean, I watch Sleepy Hollow. I love that show, and mostly because of that man's charm.
Oh, he's fantastic.
And it was a full display at that panel.
Awesome. I wish I was there for that.
Yeah, he owned that panel. Oh, yeah. Seriously.
Who else was on that panel?
I don't remember. That's how good he was.
John Bernthal from Fury.
Okay.
Tom Neeson from Sleepy Hollow. Freddie Highmore, Bates Motel. Brenton,
and the guy from Sons Theo of Anarchy.
Rossi. Yeah, Theo Rossi from Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was a good panel, but, I mean, Tom Neeson won.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, guys, we do have to talk about what did transpire on Friday, which none of us were expecting, which was the lineup for Saturday to happen so early. So for people that don't know, most people line up for Hall H to get into the panels on Saturday because it's the biggest day of the year. However, it's usually after what we were told would be at the end of the last panel on Friday. So most of us anticipated getting in line around, 8 o'clock, guys? About that?
No. We had expected, Phil and I were already expecting to get in line after the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff, so we were expecting to get there by no later than 3:30-ish.
Well, we had our wonderful Yoshi, and Jennifer was with her, and maybe you want to tell us what happened.
Well, background on Yoshi, when she found out about this bad policy, she freaked out. And I think she knows, was she talking to you, Alex, about like all the different scenarios that she was going to pan out? Like what?
Oh yeah, she was like, yeah. I was in constant communication with her as soon as we found out that she was starting to line up at 10 a.m. in the morning.
But even and, before that, like tweet it was announced, the wristband, she's like, okay, so I'm going to line up. I'm going to keep looking at the line before it's formed. So we were thinking it's going to form around 1 because last year, Doctor Who, the line started forming at like 3.
Yeah.
So she was already planning on throwing out her Friday because she had nothing she was interested in. So she was in contact with all of us. Did you tell her the line was already forming? I feel like someone told her.
No. She had gone out to go, because she was going to go do the Gotham zip line little outside event that was going on. And at least this is the story I know. She was going to go do that, and then she was happened to be there, and the line was forming there. So she's like, oh, crap, it's starting to form already.
Yeah, so it wound up being one of these situations where our wonderful Yoshi and Jennifer and some other colleagues wound up staying in line basically for the entire day. So you're talking about a hot day in San Diego, wasted ticket to San Diego Comic-Con, sitting on a hot pavement for 12 hours?
So the line had started originally between the Gotham zip line and the Godzilla exhibit outside, so a little bit further from where we ended up joining up. She was by herself until I think like 1:30-ish. I think that's when Egan had joined up at that point.
Once we got seated, he jumped out with a bathroom pass and hung out with her for several hours, hopped back in for portions of the Walking Dead panel, then jumped back out to join her. So I didn't actually wait in line.
I had done the same thing. I took a bathroom pass during the Bones panel in Ballroom 20, and I had gone to relieve her for a restroom break, and then that way she can go and get a walk around, stretch a bit, come back, and then I went back into the room, and then I had sent Richard to go find her during the new Rising Stars panel. That way we always had somebody out there to like make sure she's okay, make sure she has food, make sure she has water, etc.
Yeah, so to speed this story along a little bit, we all got in line roughly around 4 o'clock. I think most of us were there. The Comic-Con executives decided to honor this line, thank God, or it would have been a riot. We were able to get our...
They didn't want 100 geeks to riot and burn things down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might have ended badly.
So we got our wristbands. We got escorted into the tents. We were about 65 people away from being front of line. And we all got our spots, ordered some pizza, played some Cards Against Humanity, drank some beers, and really just passed the hell out to go to sleep to get ready for Saturday.
We all passed out around something like 12 o'clock, midnight-ish.
And then somebody wound up waking our asses up.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So I guess it was me. I should start this off.
So it started off with you.
So I'm sitting there, and I hear this rumbling and rumbling, and I see these people lining up on the side, and I'm like, what the hell are these people doing? Like, these are not our friends. So I kind of looked over, and I was like, guys, what are you doing? Like, this line starts back there, like, and people were ignoring me. So I kind of got out of the sleeping bag, and I walked over, and there's Andy Serkis standing there in front of me and saying, good morning. And I'm like, okay, how are you?
I started hearing the rumbling, and I kind of groggily looked up. I'm like, Mike, what's going on, Mike? And I just hear Mike going, Andy Serkis is here. Like, what?
I'm trying to kick Richard in the head, basically, because I'm trying to kick him in the shoulder. And I'm not kicking him in the shoulder. I'm trying to kick him in the head, actually. And I'm screaming to people in the most authoritative whisper that I can do.
Yeah.
Get the hell up. It's Andy Serkis.
So pretty much it started with just Mike and myself. Yeah, like we were up. So I got Mike's picture with both Andy Serkis, and then also there was Lee Pace of who plays Thranduil in The Hobbit. He also, my favorite thing I know him from is Pushing Daisies.
And he's
also Ronan the Accuser from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, and he's Ronan the Accuser in Guardians of the Galaxy. So Mike and I are up. We've taken our pictures. As soon as our pictures are done, I go around, start shaking people awake, like very hard shaking. Like I literally like lift Richard up, going, "Get your ass up, Andy Serkis, go get your fucking picture."
Well, we have 30 to 60 seconds. I thought that the line was just starting to move and compress.
Yeah, I had
to. I started put stuff away, then realized, wait, no,
there. Oh yeah, so
let's go over there.
So these are my two funny stories from that night. After I wake everybody else, I go for the people who are hard to wake up. First person that is Yusuf, another one of our friends in line. Yusuf is in a very deep slumber to the point where I have
that
to.
That dude was in a fucking coma.
Yeah, I went full like shaking baby syndrome on him, shook him awake, and it took me a full 30 seconds for like going, "Andy Serkis is here. Go get your picture with him." It took me a good like 5, 6, maybe 7 tries before it went through his head. And he got up. He started putting his shoes on. Like, "What are you putting your shoes on for? Just go. Get your camera and go." Because at that point, a line started to form.
Yeah, and then, of course, go ahead.
Yeah. And so the next person I went to go wake up after Yusuf was our good friend Jonathan and his girlfriend's brother, Scotty. Now, Scotty's become somewhat internet famous at this point because he is the guy in the hoodie, white hoodie, that Lee Pace decides to lay down next to, and everybody starts snapping pictures because they think it's the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah, so if anybody saw the Late Night with Seth Meyers last week when Lee Pace was on, he's now not only internet friendly, but he's also network friendly, network famous. Oh, yeah.
His sweatshirt has been seen by America.
My favorite thing is that he started a Twitter account just so he could say thank you, Lee Pace.
Yeah. So Scotty, we couldn't wake up no matter what. He was like, he had too much weed and beer the night before, so he was fully passed out.
And by we mean pizza, guys. So yeah.
No.
Scott, weed growing in the grass, you know.
Yeah.
But Jonathan, I decided, okay, we're going to get Jonathan up. Jonathan is already a little bit groggy. So first thing I do is, like, his girlfriend can't wake him up. So I go full underneath his arm, lift him to his feet, like full, like, Power Man style. Like, "Oh, get up." And so I'm shaking him. And he's like, "Huh? What's going on?" And I'm like, "Jonathan, guess who's here?" Because first of all, we all know Jonathan. Jonathan's second favorite, maybe your favorite actor in the world is Andy Serkis. So we have to get Jonathan awake. And I lift him full up, and I'm like, "Scotty, guess who, Jonathan, guess who's here?" And he looks at me with this, like, dazed look, like, "Scotty?" Like, "No, Andy Serkis is here. He's taking pictures and signing autographs. Go and get a picture with him." First word comes up, "I will not stand for Andy Serkis. I will sleep for Andy Serkis."
Which will be donned on a T-shirt before next year's Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah, no. We need to get those T-shirts made as the slogan for our group.
Yes.
Oh, my God. So that's definitely going to have to happen. Jonathan, I'm like, at this point, I'm like, "Jonathan, you're a lost cause." Hand him back to his girlfriend, who finally slaps him awake, and he goes to get his picture and everything. It took us a while to get him awake. But it's just like, I've never heard such an absurd line in my life. And he didn't believe that he said it because he was still like very much in a daze and unconscious when he said it. But so next morning I have to like confirm to him, "This is what you said." Everybody's validating. That's what you think. Like, "Oh, I can't believe I said that."
So funny. So we get through, we're all pretty much awake for the rest of the night. We get in line. The line condenses.
Right back. God, I tried. Back down, I'm snoring. I heard full snoring coming from your sleeping bag.
There might have been. But we finally got in the Hall H in the morning time for the Warner Brothers panel on Saturday, and we got to see some probably amazing things, which I have to say I wasn't expecting it to start off so...
Oh, no, they started big.
With a big fucking bang.
Yeah, so you have Chris Hardwick running out on stage, and we all pretty much think, all right, they're going to start with The Hobbit. And, of course, he brings Zack Snyder out, and Zack Snyder decides to drop the bombshell and bring footage from Batman versus Superman. Now, some of you have probably already seen this, considering it was pirated when you're not supposed to. Shame on you. But you have. So,
or you saw the recreation of it because somebody actually went out and they recreated it with really cheap digital figures.
I saw that one.
So, gentlemen and ladies, the reaction.
I came. Like caucus. I think I speak for everyone as well.
I mean, the footage was, as somebody who grew up on a lot of those the old Frank Miller Batman stories before Frank Miller kind of went off his rocker, the first thing we see is Batman in his full Dark Knight Returns armor that he fights Superman in, and he's in the full armor. He has the glowing white eyes, which are like the best thing ever, because I'm like, oh, they finally got that right. And so it's raining, it's dark, and he turns on the bat signal. Bat signal shines brightly in the sky, and I didn't notice it at first, but the bat signal hits, and you see Superman come out of the bat signal.
Because what happens is the bat signal lights up. You see the bat, and then lightning flashes.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. But when they showed it the second time, though. The first time I saw it, I didn't even see Superman's shadow behind the bat signal, which I noticed the second time around. But, and then the lightning flashes, and Superman's there, and his eyes glow bright red, and it's like, oh,
he's pissed. Awesome. It was badass.
Yeah. So, it's angry Superman, so it's, Man of Steel Superman, so not exactly my favorite Superman, but it's Superman. Now, screw you. Man of Steel is
awesome. And for some, I still can't figure out what reason they brought them out. They brought the three stars of the movie out, Gal Gadot, Henry Cavill, and Ben Affleck, but didn't let them speak, didn't let them answer anything. Yeah, they literally just stood there for literally 20 seconds, and then they were gone. And from a standpoint of how to drop the ball, or drop the bomb, I should say, Warner Brothers did start the day off with a slam dunk.
So my issue with this is they started with a bang, but they fizzled out into their other stuff is the problem. Ooh. Because they didn't end the Batman stuff with a bang. They fizzled it out.
I have to strongly disagree because I thought Mad Max was extremely well done.
No. But I mean just the Batman segment itself.
Yeah, it was very quick.
Yeah, so it was very quick. They didn't talk to any of the stars. And I thought, if they really wanted to, the footage they showed was already, orgasmic as is. But the whole point of bringing out all three was to also show off Wonder Woman's new costume. I thought if they really wanted to be strong, they should have had, Batman's turning on the bat signal, Superman gets pissed off, and then Wonder Woman comes in and stops them both. That would have been a perfect way.
Technically, they had the reveal of the Wonder Woman costume, but it was just, on one of the sides. It was just okay, that's backdrop now.
Yeah, it was backdrop, and it was very nonchalantly put on, because literally I just looked to my left and I'm like, holy shit, it's there. I didn't even see it at first.
I think I punched you to see that much.
I think you did punch me, actually.
I know, because when they were showing the footage for the second time, it's like I actually looked to the side and I saw the three pictures kind of faded, and I was like, okay, brighten those up. More than wanting to see the footage, I wanted them to brighten those up so I could see what Wonder Woman's costume looked like.
Right.
It looks good. You gotta give them that. It looks good.
I love it. I think it looks great.
Yeah. It's not a swimming suit, it's an armor. So,
yeah. It's full-on Greek battle armor, and that's exactly what Wonder Woman needs.
Mm-hmm. So, Jen, what was your impression of Mad Max Fury Road?
Oh, you shouldn't ask me these things.
But it has a cute guy in it. Come on.
It's Tom Hardy. It just didn't really seem like my cup of tea.
So dystopian, war battling is not your thing?
Okay, here's a better question. Have you seen the original Mad Max?
No, and I think that...
Oh, come on.
That's all right. We'll forgive you.
I'm bringing those next year. We're going to have a marathon, okay?
I need a list of movies that I just need to watch. Oh, granted, you guys keep giving me stuff, so I'm going to finish Battlestar Galactica, and then you guys can hand me the list of TV.
Okay, good. Deal. All right, guys. So we'll come back to you with The Hobbit. How's that, Jen? But you guys... Mad Max, 5 or 6 minutes of footage from the screen. I mean, it was epic.
It was awesome. It was absolutely fucking awesome.
It may have been the steal of the day from something that we weren't expecting. I expected maybe a little bit of footage here and there, or maybe a teaser trailer. They literally showed us 6 or 7 minutes of the film. And
they pretty much showed us the entire film, if you think about it. I mean, we got the entire fucking premise in those 6 minutes.
It was.
They did show a lot.
And yeah. And Tom Hardy really, I mean, he's a great actor. And I had my doubts about just, I never like seeing a rebooted character when it's such an iconic character like Max. But,
yeah, but you can't bring Matt Melly into it. Doesn't work.
No, you can't. But maybe.
Is this like a full reboot of the series, or is this a sequel? I'm not really sure. Okay.
I got the impression it's a sequel.
It seems like a sequel,
but at the same time, like, how old was Mel in his final Mad Max film? I can't remember.
30-ish?
Yeah, okay, because to me it seemed like he was even older in his final Mad Max film, so it's like, it looks like they're bringing him younger, so it's kind of almost like an in-between movie.
Could be, actually, yeah.
Well, no, I recall them saying that they're trying to, like, do a new trilogy.
Yeah, I think they're weaning towards you know, hoping that this will carry on. I know the original intent was to bring Mel back. I don't know what Mel was going to do, but it was to pass it on. So my thought was, and after seeing that original first shot of Mel or of Max standing there looking over the cliff, I was thinking to myself, that would have been a good scene for Max, the Mel Gibson one, as like a shot into the future. And then maybe like shot back and did a little bit more with Hardy as like whatever led up to that moment.
Passing of the torch.
Yeah, because it looked like he was going to be spending some time in some sort of captivity. So it could have been an interesting way of using both. But I'm okay with it. It looks fantastic, and I'm really looking forward to it. It
looks like a lot of fun.
And then, of course, they bring The Hobbit, which is the Battle of the Five Armies, which comes out in theaters this December in IMAX and HBF 3D. Thoughts on The Hobbit?
Yeah, this is where we really need to have Anna in the conversation.
Yeah. Our
one thing with the trailer, I was just so glad to hear that song from Billy Boyd.
Home left behind the world ahead. That one?
Yes.
Yes. That's just a beautiful song, and I thought it just worked so damn well.
So do you guys think that we're going to see a young Aragorn in the Battle of the Five Armies?
No. Please, no.
I hope not.
Was he even in the battle in the original story? I don't think so.
Nope, he was not.
I'm
pretty sure he wasn't.
That was a rumor that was going around, was that Peter was trying to find a way to, because the Rangers are in the Battle of the Five Armies. So I think that the anticipation was that maybe we would see a young Aragorn fight in the battle. I mean, he does like to bring, he's like the Richard Linklater of sci-fi, so fantasy. So he likes to bring characters back.
Oh, yeah. I saw the last one with a wee bit too much Legolas, thank you.
Yeah.
Legolas played a major role in the last one where he wasn't in the books at all.
Yeah, which really kind of throws off the beginning of the Fellowship because, I mean, Legolas pretty much knew Gandalf and Bilbo.
Gloin. He knows Gloin.
And Gloin.
Gimli's father.
So, I mean, in the beginning of the Fellowship, it was kind of just like, hey, how are you? I've never seen any of you people before. But it's like, yeah, you did, actually, now. So maybe Peter Jackson's going to have to pull a George Lucas and reshoot that scene.
I mean, you could make the argument that, you know, elves live such long lives that, you know, moments in time like that, they just forget.
I doubt they would forget that.
Yeah. Okay. Again, these are Tolkien elves. They're gods. They have no faults. They have perfect memories. They have perfect everything. So, no, that argument just doesn't work. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. But it's like you're trying to make it at least semi-scientific. Yeah.
Scientific with magic and elves and shit? Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm trying. I tried to give you an explanation.
He's trying to find some kind of thread of logic he can hold on to.
Yeah, so then last year's Warner Brothers partner Legacy, I think last year they split, was the first year. Legendary. Brings more of a subtlety, I think. They really came out and they really, I don't think they had much that I think that they were trying to showcase.
They had only just formed their partnership with Universal, so they couldn't really bring out all their Universal films, unfortunately.
No, but we got to see a little bit of the fact that they announced Godzilla 2 with...
Oh, God, yes.
I'll let you announce who the monsters will be, since you ripped me apart for forgetting the king. Go ahead.
Okay. So they come out, they're like, oh, there are more monsters. And the first one they show is Rodan. Rodan is here. The fucking pterodactyl is here. And then Mothra. You know, if they bring Mothra, I want to see the twins. They better fucking bring the twins in. Yeah, little tiny girls in the clam. I want to see little tiny girls in a clam singing if they bring out Mothra.
Jesus Christ, dude.
And then of course, the big guy that I had to tear Mike apart is King Ghidorah is here. They just say Ghidorah in the trailer, but I mean, no, that is fucking King Ghidorah, bitches.
I am looking forward to King Ghidorah.
Oh, I can't wait. I mean, this is like, if they do all the effects, you know, just in the next movie, throw out all the humans. We don't need the humans. Just show me the monsters fighting. And it could be a 15-minute movie for all I care, and I'll just come buckets.
So then we had a little bit more of Skull Island. It's a...
Oh, no. That was the weirdest fucking thing ever.
That one, they deceived us. They very much led us to believe we were going to be watching stuff from Jurassic World.
Yes, they did.
No, leading into the trailer, it's made it sound like we're going to see something for Pacific Rim 2, because that's what they talked about.
Yeah,
and then they show the trailer, and it's this like foresty world, like, oh, maybe it's Jurassic World. And the next thing you know, it's like, King Kong?
That came out of nowhere.
Yeah. But they did bring us Crimson Peak, which our friend Laney was freaking out about, because Tom Hiddleston and Guillermo del Toro are in it. And I think Guillermo del Toro might be the best Hall H panelist ever.
He just has such a personality and voice to him.
And he dares to say fuck.
Oh, yeah. He's like, one year he was there, and somebody pointed out the back of the name card to him. He's like, ah, fuck this.
Well, and then the big thing that they brought with us, Boff Warcraft.
Oh, yeah, it looks fucking awesome. I mean, I've never played World of Warcraft, but I am a huge fan of the RTS games, Warcraft. And, again, when you just see Thrall up there in real life, fucking character on the big screen, I'm lost for words. It looks just amazing. I want that movie so bad. Give it to me now.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we have to wait 2 years for
which sucks.
Are they really 2 years out? I thought it was coming out next year.
March of 2016. So
holy cow.
But at least they came with something, which is good. I mean, they're keeping the buzz going.
Looked good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that just means next year Legendary is going to be full out for their panel, because Guillermo del Toro already said that he's bringing Crimson Peak back and with Tom Hiddleston.
It'll be fantastic. And maybe we'll talk about
it. And he did throw a curveball just checking out the room for Hellboy 3 and stuff like that. Yeah.
And Mountains of Madness. Like, I don't know how many people here know H.P. Lovecraft and Cthulhu.
Cthulhu.
Cthulhu. So, I mean, Hellboy 3 would be great, but I want my Cthulhu movie. That would be amazing.
Yeah, seriously, if there's one person who you can trust to bring Cthulhu to the screen, it's Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
And with about 5 movies in the bucket, I think Del Toro is pretty busy for the next decade. So,
probably.
Whatever happened to that Haunted Mansion movie he was supposed to make?
And that was a big announcement a few years ago, and it just...
I know. Disney made a big point to come out like, hey, Guillermo del Toro's here to remake Haunted Mansion. We've never heard anything since.
It's still in production, pre-production. I know that they are still planning on making the film. But it's when it'll come out, who the hell knows? I mean...
As long as no Eddie Murphy.
So, yeah, I mean...
fighting to be in it.
We had the Box Trolls. We had the Women Who Kick Ass panel, which was a lot of fun.
The Women Who Kick Ass panel. Okay, do you guys remember the controversy last year about that?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, last year, the Women Who Kick Ass panel, I didn't hear it personally, but there were like people shouting like sexist comments from the audience and everything else. And in general, I just thought the panel itself was boring, but this year was really good. We didn't have Michelle Rodriguez ranting for an hour.
Yeah. So we had Maisie Williams. We had
Natalie Dormer.
We had
Tatiana Maslany.
Katie Seagal, Sarah Paulson, Tatiana Maslany. Overall, good. A decent panel of great actresses that got to talk about some of their roles and some of their impacts on women in general, in society for their roles. And it was a lot of fun, and it's a good thing for Entertainment Weekly to keep bringing, and hopefully they'll keep bringing it back every year, because it does get a good positive response, and it's a nice break in between all the craziness of the production companies bringing all the movies. So
it does give a bit of a calm before the storm for Marvel.
And
I would kind of like to hear Jennifer's opinion on this. I mean, she is the only girl here, so
let the girl speak.
I think it's great. I don't speak often like about female characters or anything. I'm not a big advocate of it, but I think it's just nice to see that strong female roles without the necessity of, you know, a strong male companion or that sense of romanticism. And I just look forward to the day where we don't need a female panel just because it's normal, you know? So I definitely enjoyed it. But there's still struggles. So hopefully this, you know, helps the endeavor to continue with these strong female roles in the future. I think my favorite one was the minority in like historical settings, because just as I'm not an actress or anything, but as a minority, you're not going to have a lot of roles to apply for or, you know, cast for. So I thought that was also fascinating with the Sleepy Hollow.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. She's fantastic. And I think from a standpoint of just from a younger breed, I mean, having Maisie Williams there to represent being a younger girl for, you know, the girls coming up is a really nice set. Sarah Paulson, she's great. I mean, she's one of my favorite actresses out there right now. I'm not sure she fit on that panel. I was kind of struggling to the women who kick ass comment. Like, I'm not sure they may. I think that panel needs to change its name, maybe.
The rising female stars.
Yeah, something like that. I don't think women who kick ass. Like, last year was fine because you had Katie Sackhoff and Michelle Rodriguez. it's fine. But women who kick ass, I think, was a little misleading for this one.
Should it just be called Kick Ass Women?
Kick-ass women.
Yeah,
it works for me. And then, of course, Marvel, which we don't need to talk about Marvel, right? Of course we do.
No, we're done with that.
No, we're good.
That footage, I want that footage to leak so badly just so I can rewatch it.
Oh, yeah.
So we start off with Ant-Man. So we bring out the cast, Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas, Evangeline Lilly, and Corey... God, Corey, I'm sorry. Soul.
Corey Soul.
So you have Yellow Jacket. You have, is it Jane? That was the name of Evangeline.
No. Jan Van Dyne was the character originally. Evangeline Lilly is going to be playing the daughter, Hope Van Dyne.
Hope Van Dyne.
Been credited as Hope Pym.
Right. Then we have, of course, Michael Douglas as Hank Pym. No, she's not.
No, I'm betting that she's going to be like taking on, like, the Wasp was probably a real character, and Hope Van Dyne's probably going to take over the mantle of the Wasp. I mean, the Ant-Man story they're doing right now is a complete like change from whatever from the comic books. Like, it's a complete separation from the characters there.
Yeah, I've heard that they're really the source material for Ant-Man they're really concerned about because it's very outdated. So I think they're trying to just kind of do a revamp to start it up.
So I mean, for those who don't know, there was Ant-Man is kind of a mentally psychotic character in general. He has kind of split personality. He has kind of he goes through mental breakdowns all the time. And there was a there was a scene where Hank Pym, as the Yellow Jacket, because the Yellow Jacket isn't a bad guy character, it's a good guy character, as the Yellow Jacket has a mental breakdown and physically, like, beats the shit out of his wife.
Which they won't be showing on screen.
Yeah, so right now Marvel is trying to move Ant-Man away from that image. Like, we have a very vocal friend and as part of our group who is always defending Ant-Man, like, no matter what. But here's really what it comes down to. Like, there's been other characters who've hit female characters due to, like, mental breakdowns and other reasons. I mean, Spider-Man punched a pregnant Mary Jane to cause to make her have an abortion, for crying out loud. And nobody ever talks about that. Nobody can get over the fact that Ant-Man abused his wife, and so that's the image that sticks with his character, even if, no matter how much good he's done otherwise. So Marvel is trying to re-image the character, reimagine the character in a way so nobody's going to remember that anymore. That's why they even made Yellow Jacket a bad guy, because Yellow Jacket was the persona Hank Pym had when he hit his wife.
Yeah. So the footage that they showed us was pretty okay. I mean, it looks kind of fun. The special effects, of course, you know, we see a small, you know, miniature-sized Ant-Man running around and just learning how to be Ant-Man and riding a fucking wasp or whatever.
One thing I really took away from that footage that shows it's really the first time we've really established what the relationship between
Hank Pym and Scott Lang
is going to be.
Right. That's true.
Because, I mean, up till now, it's just been, okay, we have both of them. What's the deal? But now we actually see that Hank Pym is actually organizing the heist and has hired Paul Rudd to do it.
Yeah, and in the beginning, it was under the impression when Edgar Wright was the director that Scott was stealing it from.
Yeah.
And that's the original storyline, because that's the one Edgar Wright wanted to base it off of.
Yeah, which is to steal an Ant-Man.
Yeah.
So, overall, excited for it, guys?
I'm feeling better about it than I have been since the Edgar Wright decision.
Boff?
The footage sold me. I had no preconceived notions or anything. I was just like, that footage, it looked cool. I can get into that character. Yeah, bring me the movie.
Jen, from a novice standpoint, did you actually make you want to see it?
Well, I love Paul Rudd, so I was already committed to seeing it.
Okay, so say you didn't like Paul Rudd. Would you have made you want to see it more just from that footage?
Yes, actually. I'm really curious. Just, I thought it looked great. It made me curious about where they're going with the story, so... I will definitely be seeing it opening weekend.
And then, of course, Alex, we were graced with the presence of the Avengers on stage.
The Avengers. Just seeing Robert Downey Jr. so close up in person. I get to brag to my friends. He was throwing roses at us.
I never know where Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr. begins. Which one was it that actually came out on stage?
Stark.
Robert Downey Jr. Like, they really tailored the character of Tony Stark to become Robert Downey Jr. now.
Yeah.
But it just works so perfectly.
It does.
Which leads us to the footage, which I think a lot of us expected to see footage. But what we saw was...
We never expect the footage Marvel gives us.
We see it as it is.
Ethically awesome ways that we can never quite predict.
Which we saw so much more. That'd be a good way to say it. Well, fuck you, people. We saw the trailer.
We saw the fucking Hulkbuster armor, motherfuckers.
So we saw a first scene, which seems to be something a little bit humorous. We saw a little bit of the hammer of Thor on a coffee table, and everybody trying to pick it up. It's just kind of funny. And of course, Cap is the last one, and he kind of does a little budge, and Thor gets a little flustered from it, and looks at him.
The look on Thor's face is classic.
Iron Man asked him.
Iron Man and so Tony and Rhodey over there both have their Iron Man Iron Man armor gloves on, and like, oh, we got this, right? We got this.
But first, Tony asks, so if I'm able to pick this up, then I get to King of Asgard.
Yes. Yeah.
So then everyone makes their attempts at it with, as he said, Tony and Rhodey both donning their gloves in order to try and lift it with power. And then at the end, Cap budges it, and you just see this nervous look on Thor's face.
No, no, no. The best one is when Mark Ruffalo's like going all crazy trying to lift it. Everybody, like, oh crap, he's gonna hold
that. Yeah. or Jeremy Renner's, he just like puts his hand on it. He's, nah, come on, man. This is great. But then, of course, it leads into something that none of us expected, which was seeing
dark voice, man.
The first incarnation of Ultron.
We saw the Mark I armor of Ultron, and we got to hear James Spader speak as Ultron and monologuing in his Ultron voice. And James Spader is the perfect guy to monologue anything. I just want to hear him talk me to sleep half the time.
I have friends that I am requiring to watch all of Boston Legal before they're allowed to watch Avengers 2.
That's fantastic.
They need to hear James Spader monologue.
Yeah. But so what about the trailer excited you the most? The one piece of the trailer that excited you the most?
Hulkbuster armor.
Hulkbuster armor? Alex?
I mean, I have to agree, Hulkbuster armor. Not only do we see the Hulkbuster armor, we see Iron Man's new armor, and then he gets into the Hulkbuster armor as it builds upon his new armor. Yeah. And so it's just like, I'm a
And,
meta
and then the Hulk throws a car at him.
Oh, fucking God, cool.
One thing I would have liked to have seen, I wanted to see more Quicksilver.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't show the kids very much. They didn't show the Quicksilver or Scarlet Witch as much. And
we didn't see Vision at all.
No,
I can have said why we haven't seen Vision. That one they're keeping pretty damn.
Under wraps. Yeah.
Yeah, that one they're keeping pretty secret so that we get the full impact later on.
And then, of course, we see the face of Ultron turn to the screen with facial expressions, speak to the crowd, and then it goes to black. But, of course, before that, we saw something that I think will be a little bit shocking to many people, which is the broken shield of Captain America laying on a pile of bodies.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, I guess it leads me to ask everyone here, is this film going to be the darkest film that Marvel's ever produced?
Light and dark. It'll be a combination of both.
Yeah,
this is their empire. I mean, if you go Avengers as three, their own movies, this is the Avengers version of The Empire Strikes Back. And the rule is, end the second one dark, because it has to go to shit, so they have something to fight for in the third part.
No, but at the same time, no, these Avenger movies look like they're going to be standalone for the most part because they're all built up in the same universe. And if you think about just comic book wise, this is each one of these movies is its own story arc. I mean, it's not like because we all know the third movie is probably Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet. That's what they've been building up to for how many years now? And every time we see a new Infinity Stone, as they call them now. We know Thanos is coming, and so they can't just end it with Ultron winning here. So it's gonna. I think it's gonna end with the universe having changed a lot by the end of Age of Ultron, but it's not gonna end on a sour note the way that Empire did.
I think it will.
You think it's just gonna end with half the Avengers dead?
No, not dead, but in a dire situation, in like really hopeless. Situation that has to, basically, I'm expecting Empire. I mean, Han Solo frozen in carbonite, shit like that.
I think I'd probably side a bit more with Both on this one. I think ending dark would be a really interesting place to go with it.
Well, considering it's been out there, the rumor of how it will end, it'll be interesting to see if they do that. Which we can talk offline. I don't want to ruin it for everybody online.
But does everybody remember the Thor: The Dark World trailer at Comic-Con from some years ago?
Yeah.
Thor: The Dark World, the original trailer was like incredibly dark. And, yeah. Like, I mean, we ended that trailer with Loki cutting Thor's hand off, and we didn't know how that was playing in. And so I see Marvel putting out these dark trailers, but I don't see them. Like, we all know, like, how lighthearted Thor 2 ended up being.
Mm-hmm.
True.
So, Jen, what did you, what was your overall impression of the Age of Ultron trailer?
I don't. She doesn't know how to explain the awesomeness.
From a special effects standpoint, from just that, just an overall awe of what they produced. I mean, it was pretty amazing.
I was just amazed. I think most distracted with Cap's, you know, shield at the end. So
she was most distracted by Chris.
I'm very much a, oh, that was really cool. I wonder what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I'm gonna think about it until it comes out, so I'm not freaking out too long.
Yeah.
But you guys are not helping with that cause.
I mean, I can like wax on about Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man all day long, and like all of the things I wish I could see.
Yeah,
and of course,
one little thing in that trailer that a lot of people missed because they were just so excited by it was like three frames of Andy Serkis as himself.
Yeah, I missed that, and God damn it, I fucking love that guy.
So I mean, I am really looking forward to seeing what he's doing as himself in this movie. I mean, it's Andy Serkis. I want to know.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't, you know, most people did miss that. And, you know, he was missing from the cast on stage. So I think they may be keeping that a secret.
Yeah, I think that was just a very, very teasy bit for those who were able to catch it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
After you.
I don't really have anything to say.
Well, then, of course, Marvel, you know, after kicking the door straight out of the Hall H.
They drop the mic and walk off.
Yeah.
No. They did do one more thing.
Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy.
No. They brought out one more character. Yes. That they said was going to be Josh Brolin. Exactly.
We got to see Josh Brolin eat a rose on stage, literally.
Yes, so they brought Josh Brolin out to confirm that he will be playing Thanos in Guardians of the Galaxy and in probably Avengers 3. And of course, they also had a video message from James Gunn and Chris Pratt, star and director of Guardians of the Galaxy, to announce Guardians of the Galaxy 2 for July 28th, 2017.
And you know, we had a bit of an argument about this in after the panel, Mike, where you said that Avengers 3 was going to be out before that, but we now know that they're aiming for 2018 release date for Avengers 3. So I can possibly see Guardians 2 leading into that.
That's it. Probably what's going to wind up being it. Yep. So it'll be interesting. Then, of course, afterwards, the first ever time that Hall H was open at night on a Saturday night. Really cool stuff. DC and Warner Brothers brought the pilots of Constantine, The Flash, and Gotham to Hall H to show the world what they've been concocting in their little scientistic eras of Warner Brothers Hall, or whatever the fuck they call it these days. But overall, most of us have seen The Flash and the Constantine pilots beforehand. But what did you think of Gotham?
I fell asleep.
So this is where we're going to actually have some differing opinions, I believe.
I think we will. That's why I'm bringing this one.
Let's start with you, Mike, because you're of the positive side.
Yeah, I think it's got an opportunity to succeed based on the fact that they're sticking in the mythology of the backstory of Bruce Wayne, but they're allowing themselves to expand around it. So I think it'll be fun to watch what is actually transpiring in Gotham after the after effects of what happened with Bruce Wayne's parents. Since we knew that, and we've seen it three times. We've seen what has happened in the Tim Burton Batman, which was almost passed over because they kind of skipped over that whole time. We've seen it again in the Batman Begins, where we saw Bruce pretty much leave Gotham and move on with his life. And then we've now seen in this, which is going to basically give us an opportunity to see how Bruce grew up afterwards. So I'm interested to see where they're going to go with it. I did like the guy who played the Penguin. I thought he was really good.
Of anything, that was the thing that was the one that I was looking forward to the most, and he rocked it.
Oh, he killed it.
The best thing about that pilot, Robin Lord Taylor, was absolutely incredible.
I think it's got opportunities, Alex. I'm not exactly sure that it'll knock it out of the park.
I'm kind of in the middle ground here, where it's like, I think that the pilot was disjointed, but it was trying to introduce too much too quickly all in one go. It was
boring.
Yeah, and it had a lot of slow moments in there.
Yeah.
However, I think it does have potential, but just judging the pilot on its own, it was disjointed and messy, in my opinion.
I can see where that argument can happen. But I will say that from a standpoint of Fox, it was one of their better pilots.
Well, how many Fox pilots did we see? Because all three of those shows are on different networks that we saw the
But I'm talking their track record. Fox is not normally good at pilots. Sleepy Hollow was the first good pilot that they brought in 10 years, probably. Because most of the shit...
With regard to Gotham, I mean, the way I described this to Alex after we watched it was...
It felt like
that pilot was tailored to be picked up by Fox. It was kind of an anti-Whedon pilot, in a way. In that it just kind of set up, okay, this is what the show's about. This is where we're going. These are the people that we're going to see. We know it. We kind of see the direction, as opposed to Whedon, where there is the slow build. And I got to love the slow build.
I think we're going to see a lot of slow build in Gotham. I think it was mostly a chance for them to set tone for a small grouping of characters. But it is a wide-range world that we're going to see over the next maybe 13 to 15 episodes or whatever we're going to get out of Gotham. So I'll be interested to see how they go moving forward. And, no matter what, we'll all be tuning in every week and praying that it turns out good. We will.
So what was everybody's favorite pilot of the three, then?
Strongest pilot was definitely Constantine.
Constantine
is my favorite as well. Matt Ryan, I think his name is like the perfect fit for Constantine, and that pilot just kind of like rocked, because there's so many tiebacks to the original Hellblazer series for me, and I was like, oh wow, they're actually putting that in. They put that in. I'm like, wow.
The only problem is it's on NBC at 10 o'clock on Fridays. It's gonna have a very difficult time finding its audience.
Yeah, Friday night. Haven't they shown already that the Friday night Death slot doesn't quite exist as strong as it used to?
Well, Grimm has made its way, so they keep trying to put something after it. They put Dracula, and that died. Constantine does not have that big of a following that's going to be able to hold the 10 o'clock slot on Friday nights. It's going to be interesting to see.
Studios are starting to take into account digital distribution numbers, so
fuck you, finally.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing, because I mean, as myself, I'm a cable cutter. I've cut my cable box. I don't have your traditional television. I have a digital antenna, so I can still watch Constantine on NBC. But I mean, I watch most of my stuff through Hulu, through Amazon, through Netflix. So a lot, and I think the TV companies are starting to notice that a lot of people are starting to do that. So they're starting to take into account like how many views has this had on Hulu, because we all. Hulu is partially owned by NBC, if I remember. So it's there's definitely going to be some NBC stuff on there.
It's day of show DVR plus one, digital plus one. So it's, I think they only go 2 days past the original date. So it would have to be watched by Sunday for it to be counted.
I would easily watch that the day it gets released on digital.
So guys, what was the biggest omission from Hall H this year?
Star Wars Episode 7.
I mean, there were rumors all day long on Saturday about Star Wars showing up. and so
perpetuated by you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Mike was like, Star Wars is gonna be here. Oh my god.
Well, let's be clear on this. That the stupid ass security guard was telling the people in front of us that
that's true. I heard it as well. Yeah.
He told them flat out, "Oh yeah, Star Wars is gonna be here in between."
He was just fucking with you.
Well, I almost started thinking I would have almost taken Star Wars Rebels for Christ's sake just to say Star Wars showed up.
Well, I mean, you said yourself that you expect Star Wars to show up at Celebration this year.
Yeah, they'll be at Celebration right before Comic-Con next year. So I think we'll get a double dose of Star Wars leading into Comic-Con next year. For me, I think besides Star Wars, I think the biggest two omissions were Jurassic World, which we already mentioned earlier, and Terminator 5.
Yes. I mean, Terminator 5, that's a huge omission, especially because Arnold loves to go out and promote his stuff. You throw Arnold on stage, just throw Arnold on stage to promote Terminator 5, and it would have been fun.
I mean, it is coming out in June of next year, I'm right, right?
Yeah, it's coming out. This would have been the perfect. They have stuff shot. I mean, it's in full production right now.
I think those are the two biggest omissions. Do you guys think of anything else besides the three that we've mentioned?
I know the one that you don't like to talk about is Fantastic Four. I mean, we all expected Fox to show that on their Friday panel.
Yeah.
But nothing shown for that. And Fox really needs the support right now because everything they've told us about that movie sounds terrible.
Yep. Except for Kate Mara's vagina.
I mean, there was Sony didn't have a big panel.
Don't even start on this podcast, dude. You have no idea. Viewers have no idea the amount of talk about Kate Mara's vagina.
Oh, God. let's not bring that up here. But the one big omission this year was Sony didn't have a Hall H panel. They had a tiny panel in Indigo Ballroom for Goosebumps. I mean, I love the children's book series, but come on. And I mean, after all the talk they've been having all year long, going, oh, we're going to do Sinister Six, and this is going to come out, and this is going to come out, and this is going to come out. They did not bring anything.
How about Assassin's Creed?
I know that's been in the works for a long time now, but who's making that?
It still has a date of April of 2015.
Is it actually in production?
Yeah. I mean, no.
They kind of fell out of touch with where that movie stood.
Yeah, the date still stands.
They've been working on it for so damn long.
Yeah, I mean, from what I understand, the date is still out there, so it doesn't make some sense. But okay. I mean, who knows what the hell's going on with the film.
Looking forward to seeing what they can pull out.
Yeah. So what about DC not announcing what the rumored lineup of their cinematic universe?
That leak happened so like how many months ago now? DC was probably like, you know what, fuck them. We're just gonna show them this, and we're not gonna do anything else because we're gonna figure out a way to do it again. Because they're still 2 years out, so they can do it next year in 2015. If they want to do it right, they're gonna do it next year in 2015. Bring out the whole cast. Announce everything the way Marvel. Fucking
talk this time. Do something.
Yeah, I mean, this like right now, like they were just kind of giving us the tip, and then next year's gonna be the full shaft.
Yeah. Well, what about Marvel? I mean, they announced the director of Doctor Strange, but they haven't announced the cast. I think it would have been nice for them to come back.
They've said that they've got other people, but they've never actually gone out and said an official announcement for it.
Yeah, I kind of got taken for a little bit of a ride by a certain person, Scott Derrickson, that told me he was going to be there, but apparently wasn't. Thanks a lot, Scott. Appreciate it.
He could have been planning to be there. Then Marvel's like, yeah, change of plans. We're just going to drop the mic.
It's possible. But overall, guys, what would you rate this year's Comic-Con on a scale of 1 to 10?
I mean, if last year was a 10, because last year was pretty great, this year was probably about, I'd rate this year a solid 8.5 to a 9. There were some disappointments, and there was a lot more stress in some areas. but there was so much awesome stuff that we got to do that we didn't ever get to do before. I mean,
there was a lot of great stuff, but then a lot of the stuff from this year was too early in production. All the stuff we wanted to see was too early in production in order to give us what we wanted from it.
True.
Yeah, so it's kind of disappointing that way. And then, I mean, the amount of time spent in lines very much increased.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the amount of fun we had in line this year. Yeah, that was a lot.
We had such a huge group this year. It made the line itself fun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm taking into account all the good experiences, even that, you know, the lines and everything else. We got to meet Andy Serkis for crying out loud. I mean, how often does that happen?
And so now all of us have changed our profile pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, if I'm going to give it a solid 8.5 to 9 rating, because if last year I would rate it as a 10, 9.5 to a 10 easily, just because there was so much in terms of content.
Yep.
This year, content was lacking, but experience was way up there.
I would go with an 8. I think I would give it an 8, because I had too many things that I thought would.
But half of that you worked yourself up on. You're like, Star Wars, you worked yourself up on. Doctor Strange, did you work yourself up on?
But I agree 100% with what Phil just said. That this was like the middle. This was a year where there was so much anticipation because Batman Superman was already scheduled for 2015. Then it got pushed to 2016. So there was a lot of like scrambling, I think. And you're right. A lot of things are too in production right now that we barely got anything that we really wanted. So next year should wind up being an 11.
That are in full production, we didn't see, which was kind of disappointing.
True. I mean, Star Wars could have showed up with the cast, for God's sakes.
Seriously, if they had just shown footage of the Millennium Falcon with Han Solo saying, like, hey, Chewie, want to go over there? We would have.
Well, that would have been enough. Ford is in a leg cast right now. Just have him hobble his way on stage. Like, hey, I want to walk off.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're all looking back to going back next year, so it'll start soon.
We're praying to every god we know right now that we can get tickets for next year.
Yeah.
Comic-Con keeps making it harder and harder.
But it'll be interesting. Jenny, you looking forward to next year already?
Yes. You know, I ranked it a 9. I didn't go to the same stuff as you guys last year. And, well, many of you were more stressed out. I was so happy this year because I was in panels for 4 straight days. And I actually had a bed to sleep in on the nights I wasn't camping. So,
cheater. No, wait, I did that too. Sorry.
This is the guy Friday night was so like, fuck, I'm not going to lot. I'm just going to sneak in and see how that plays out.
Yeah.
I was suffering some horrible insomnia early on.
Yeah, you were pretty bad.
That Friday night, Phil just showed up in line magically. He's like, I can't sleep. Fuck this. I'm going to join you in line right now.
Hey, I had to wait in line by myself for Walking Dead last year. So this year was way better because I actually had company. Thanks.
Yeah, we're awesome.
So, yes, I'm dedicated. But I don't know. The only thing I was sad about was no Doctor Who this year. Granted, I was glad I wasn't going to cut a fangirl in line. I love Doctor Who, but those fangirls are really effing annoying. So,
That's true for every fangirl of everything ever.
Well, you know, like Walking Dead, I got to sleep in line, but for Doctor Who line, there's no sleeping because everyone's so loud and it never settles down. So,
really, I've never heard the Doctor Who line because usually it's a Sunday panel and Saturday night I'm way passed out somewhere, and on Sunday I don't usually wake up.
So, yeah. It's been.
I'm done.
No, go, talk.
But I'm good.
Yeah, so we will be reconvening in about 11 months and a couple of days. And
Wait. So next year, it's a week earlier. It's the week after 4th of July next year.
Oh, 2 weeks earlier. I mean.
Well, no, this year was already a week earlier, and next year it's even a week earlier than that, I think. You're right. 2 weeks earlier now. I'm the only Asian in the world who's terrible at math. So leave me alone.
Yeah, that is disappointing.
So
yeah,
we'll celebrate my birthday in Comic-Con next year, so it'll be great.
Oh, that's right. Your birthday is...
That'll be good.
Yeah, my birthday is July 15th, so we'll have to celebrate it. It's the 8th through the 12th, I think, is what they're looking at. So we'll have some good time.
I want to go on record that I will ignore your birthday completely next year.
You will hump my leg for my birthday.
So next year I already kind of have a plan in place because you know I'm typically the one hosting the suite over there. So we're gonna get him to America early on. We're gonna celebrate some 4th of July and give him the full American experience.
I'm always game for it. You know what?
You have to wear like red, white, and blue underwear and like swim shorts and like.
No. That's the Uncle Sam outfit the Dean has in Community.
Oh, Dean, Lean, Lean.
You mean his sister's?
His sister's outfit. Sister. Yeah.
You'll get 6 Meow Meow Beans if you wear that.
Sweet.
So that's all we got time for tonight, guys. But we'll be having this cast of Misfits on again near future to talk about another fun topic, but definitely will have them on next year.
I don't get to sleep that night either.
Yeah, you don't get to sleep that night.
let's just plan it for like a Saturday, so that way it doesn't really matter anyhow.
We'll do some kind of special report on some special stupid shit that we could just talk about for 2 hours again, and we'll post it online for you, the people. So anyway, for Alex, for Phil, for Jen, for the Boff, I'm Mike. We'll see you later. Thanks for having us. Good night.
Peace out.
You'll see you.